Let's join together in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, please. Move back into this wonderful book. While you're headed that way, I want to sort of set the context of this particular chapter because it, in and of itself, steps outside of the flow of things just a bit. If you remember, the first six chapters were the wonderful stories of Daniel that we all knew and do know from Sunday school times. Daniel in the lion's den, the handwriting on the wall, those different things. But then we moved into chapter 7 and 8 where we got into those marvelous dreams that Daniel had that revealed to him the coming of the end times of that end of that Mosaic period, the end of the Old Testament period, and the different countries and the nations that would rise up and such as that. But then here in chapter 9, we, as I said, take just a little bit of a change. It is as though Daniel is sort of reflecting for just a moment, taking all of it in that has happened to him over his lifetime. By the point in time Daniel is speaking of in this chapter, in chapter 9, it is estimated that Daniel is somewhere between the age of 85 and 90, 95 years old by some accounts. He has a right to sit back for just a moment and reflect on the things that have gone on in his life and what he has remembered drove him to prayer. Let us read the prayer of Daniel, chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing up on us great disaster. Under the whole heavens, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it was written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sin and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and the petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord,
Look with favor on your desolate sanctuary.
Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name.
The word of our Lord God, given by the Holy Spirit to Daniel, I pray that we may take it in and live upon it. As I mentioned, I believe, if trying to get into Daniel's head here just a bit, if it's possible, that he at this age is reflecting back upon all the things that have happened. It's been a treacherous, tremendous time for Daniel. All of the dreams, all of the events that he has witnessed, all of the prophecies that he has been told and then seen before his very eyes come true, the deaths. He seems to be looking back on all of these things and trying to work them all together into the bigger picture of things going on. He's not lost sight of why he's there, why his people are in Babylon, why they are removed from Jerusalem, why the people, God's people, are in bondage. He remembers the prophecy. He remembers the prophecy from the great Jeremiah. If you would like to turn back with me to Jeremiah 25, or you may listen. Jeremiah 25, verse 1. The word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem, for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now each of you from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have provoked me with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourself. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Daniel knew this prophecy. He knew why his people were in Babylon. It was foretold that the people of Jerusalem would spend 70 years in captivity for their sin. Here, Daniel, again, heard the prophecy, and then is now seeing the prophecy fulfilled. Verse 2 of this chapter 9 says that he understood. He understood why he was there, why his people were there. And the weight of these things seems to settle in upon Daniel. 70 years. 70 years Daniel has been in a foreign land. 70 years Daniel has been in the bondage of a foreign ruler. This 70 years began on or about 606 BC. It is estimated the writing of this chapter here, given the first year of Darius' reign, to be on or about 539 B.C., some 67 years later. The 70th year is approaching. Daniel has been in Babylon nearly 70 years, and there is no sight of freedom. There is no sight of freedom. But he knows why. It's not time. The sin of the people have put them in God's judgment. And that judgment must be served and must be fulfilled. So what does Daniel do? He begins to confess. His heart is burdened. He knows God. He knows the people. He begins to pray. He begins to confess. He begins to plead for mercy. He turned to the Lord. Now, this is a particularly weighted phrase. He turned to the Lord. He didn't, in passing, mention a thought of prayer. He didn't, in his daily work time, identify that, oh, I need to pray. Lord, would you help me in this case? And continue. He deliberately identified and brought to pass a time of dedicated prayer and concerted prayer. He was convicted of his sin. He was convicted of the sin of his people. And he turned to the Lord. Now, I know many of you do this very thing. Many of you have that time when you draw away from the day's activities, when you hide yourself away somewhere in your home, and you have that dedicated time of prayer where you seek to have nothing go on in your life, in your passing, except that prayer. And I applaud you for it. And I believe God will be good to you and respond to you in that time of prayer. Daniel didn't say, I turned and hoped that the Lord would hear me in my prayer. He said, with great confidence, I turned to the Lord and prayed. He dressed in sackcloth. He fasted. He was deliberate. He was in mourning. He set aside that deliberate time for prayer. How many of you, how many of us, whether we are convicted of sin or not, simply have that time daily where we turn and set our sights and set our face towards the Lord in prayer, knowing with great confidence that He will be there. Here in Daniel chapter 9, this is a most interesting prayer. It is a prayer of confession, as I have said. It is a prayer that has been a model of confessional prayers down through church history. We today are going to look at it as a model. We're going to look at what Daniel identifies and prays and discusses with God through his prayer. As we talked about in Sunday school, I'm going to cross over that line into teaching here just a bit. Because this is a model. And it's given in the Holy Writ to be that instruction. It's one that should be studied. So let's look at what is in this prayer. First of all, notice. Daniel never asks when. Lord, when are you going to relieve this pressure? Lord, when are you going to relieve this burden? Lord, I have been struggling here through this time. When are you going to come and save me? He never says that. Why? He pleads for mercy. He admits his guilt. But he never asks when. Why? Because he already knows. He already knows. It's been prophesied that you will be in the land of desolation. You will be in bondage. Your temple will fall, and you will be in that condition for 70 years. Do you think Daniel understands prophecy? Do you think Daniel has an ear for prophecy and then has the trust in the one who makes the prophecy? Oh, yeah, he's been through a few. He is not concerned with when. He is simply asking for God's favor. He is simply asking for God's sustenance as or through this time. Let me ask you a question. Has God made you a promise? Ever? I will be with you even unto the end of the age. Has God made you a promise? Has God prophesied to you a promise? Absolutely. So when we walk through those times of burden, when we walk through those times of persecution, should the first thing on our mind be, God, when is this going to end? Well, certainly we are human, that will come into play. But God has made you a promise. He said you will not be here always. You will not suffer through these things always. I will be with you to the very end of the age. And so we need to pray as though we have that confidence. We need to pray as though we believe the promise. Father, you said you would be here as my sibling, as my sister, as my daughter, as my spouse has passed away. And so I am asking for you to be here in this and carry me through. And does he? Absolutely. That's what we see in this prayer. Other things. In prayer, we should acknowledge a personal relationship with God. We should identify that we know and are sure of our relationship with God. Because you see, and this is a debatable point in many circles, God only hears the prayers of those who know Him. God only hears the prayers of those who know Him. He listens to His children. We, as we come to Him in prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. What is that? It's an identification of relationship. It's an identification that I know I am a child. It's an identification that I know that I have a Father. And where is He? Who art in heaven. It's an identification of a relationship that we depend so much on. Now, does God need to hear that? Does He need to be reminded of who He is? Does He need to be reminded of His capacity? No. So what's the why? I need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. Daniel, in this prayer of confession, identifies that he knows who God is. Several places he identifies that God is one who fulfills prophecy. He identifies God as being great and awesome. He identifies God as being one who keeps His covenant. He identifies God as being righteous, merciful, and forgiving. Again, are these things that God needs to hear? No, God's pretty cool on who He is. He's got that covered. I need to say those things. I need to say those things. I need to be reminded that God is righteous. I need to be reminded that He keeps His covenant. He keeps His promise. I need to be reminded that He is forgiving and loving. This prayer is a reciting of those things that God is to me, meaning of who God is. But then we get into this personal stuff. And this is where sometimes we don't like to go in prayer, especially confessional prayer. Daniel notes the crimes committed by his people. He doesn't try to sidetrack anything. He doesn't say, oh God, we didn't know. He doesn't say, well God, you know how people are. That's just how they are. They're going to mess up. Nope. None of that. Just a few he mentioned. Sinned and done wrong, wicked and rebelled, not obeyed, not kept the laws, turned away. They did not listen to your servants, the prophets, or listen to his servants, the preachers. Unfaithfulness, transgressed the laws, just to name a few. In our confessional prayers, we need to sometimes be specific. Lord, I have committed adultery in my mind. Would you forgive me? Father, I treated my brother wrongly when I said what I said to him. I'm going to ask his forgiveness, but first I must have yours. Father, I have not treated my spouse as I should. And list the things. Again, does God need to hear those things? No, God knows. It's here. I need to be honest. And I need to be honest with myself. As I've said so many times, it is so easy for me to lie to me. I tell me how good I am all the time. It is so easy to lie to me. But here's one. Daniel, in this prayer of confession, acknowledges God's right to serve judgment on His people. How many times do we do that? Father, You are right in Your punishment of me. This persecution that I am traveling through now, Father, You are right. You are righteous. I am the sinner, and You are right to serve that judgment upon me. How many times have you heard that in a confessional prayer? How many times have you said that? It's not on my top 10. But here, Daniel says, God, You're right. Because I'm a sinner. In Your law, Moses, You said if I did X, there would be Y. I see it, and You're right. God loves an honest, earnest prayer. Are we like Daniel? Do we acknowledge our sin? Are we sorry? Do we mourn? This bit about Daniel sitting in sackcloth and ashes and mourning and fasting, that was the traditional way of showing the great depth of mourning. When someone passed away in this time, that was a thing they did. So this is the epitome of mourning, of sorrow, of being fulfilled with all of just a burden of guilt. Does our sin drive us to those places? Or are you sorry for your sin before a holy and righteous God? And this is only a question you can answer. Because you know the sin, you know God, and you know what kind of conversations have gone on between the two of you. Before we leave this prayer, there is something that we must notice about it since we are using it as a model. There is something significant in this prayer that we must see. Questions. For whose sake is Daniel confessing? Those of you who are in the 9:15 time, don't speak up. You've already got the answer. For whose sake is Daniel confessing? For whose benefit is Daniel concerned primarily? Look with me again at verses 16 through 19. O Lord, in keeping with all Your righteous acts, turn away Your anger and Your wrath from Jerusalem, Your city, Your holy hill. Our sins and our iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and Your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of Your servant. For whose sake? Yours, O Lord. O Lord, look with favor on Your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, open Your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears Your name. We do not make requests of You because we are righteous, but because of Your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for Your sake. O my God, do not delay because Your city and Your people bear Your name. Verse 16 says, in keeping with Your righteousness, turn away. Not because of mine. Not because I'm of any regard. Verse 17, for Your sake again. Verse 18, because of Your great mercy. Verse 19, for Your sake again. And then this one, verse 19, says, Your city and Your people who bear Your name. Forgive the people who bear Your name, who will be a reflection to the community and will reflect who You are. So I'm praying that, Lord, You would forgive me, and certainly I will receive benefit from that. But God, in Your forgiving me, I will reflect Your benevolence. I will reflect Your love. I will reflect your care, and Father, you will receive the glory out of me being forgiven. So in our confessional prayers, we are certainly concerned with God forgiving us, but it is for His glory that we should be initially concerned. You see, it's not for our good that we confess. It is simply another aspect, another means, another way of bringing glory to God. How great and glorious is a God who can look upon a frail and broken, dirt-filled being and say, I love you. Is that because I'm made of a particularly nice type of dirt? No. No, it's God. It's God and His glory. It is God. So the question simply for us is, are we sorry for our sin? And do we pray in such a way that would reflect that sorrow?